This morning, we are beginning this new series. I wanted to show you a video that I think really symbolizes something that I feel, if some of you just come to see what video I can find on YouTube each week. Well, friends, this morning we are talking about getting ready to play. You ready to sign up and play? You ready to have some fun before the Lord? Are you on the team? Are you ready to be part of the team? You know, you watch that video and you know, it makes me think of that passage in 1 Corinthians 12 where it says, can the toe say that it's not part of the body? How important was the toe in that video, huh? The person playing the toe was a very significant part of that entire video. And I believe that you and I all play a very significant role. And I don't play any more significant role than you play. I'm just more visible. But the reality is, every single person that plays on this team is extremely important. And I'm glad for every single one of you because you do things that I can't possibly do. I hear the choir sing and I think, I can't sing like that. I mean, what would we do if we came in here and I sang? It would be horrible. But they sing because God's given them that gift. I don't even like people very much. Can you imagine me as a greeter? No, I'm kidding. I love God. I want to turn to our scripture because we must always start there. God has given each of you a gift from his great variety of spiritual gifts. Use them well to serve one another. Do you have the gift of speaking? Then speak as though God himself were speaking through you. Do you have the gift of helping others? Do it with all the strength and energy that God supplies. Then everything you do will bring glory to God through Jesus Christ. All glory and power to him forever and ever. Amen. Friends, we are so infatuated with sports in this country. We just started up cable at the parsonage after God moved in there. And I'm looking at all the cable channels that are available. And there's like 20 sports channels. Have you noticed this? That if you want to, we didn't get that, by the way, but you can have a package with 20 sports channels. You can watch the drafts. You can watch the preseason, the postseason, the highlights, the ones from years past. You can watch it all. You can watch baseball, football, soccer. You can watch rugby if you want to watch rugby. You can just get involved in any sport, watch anything you could possibly desire. But today's the big one, right? The Steelers start the regular season. I'm a huge Steelers fan. I believe it's just wonderful to watch the Steelers. But one thing I know, they have been working hard all year, not just at summer camp, but all year to get ready for the glory of 1 hour. Yeah, it's 1 hour. It takes 3 hours to play it, but it's 1 hour. 1 hour they're going to play. But they know that all of their lives, they've got to be on 24/7 if they are going to succeed as an NFL team. And by the way, they will succeed. They're playing Cleveland today. Sorry, no. Do you remember when you were in high school and they would have those great pep rallies and they would come in and they would get all excited and you know, the principal would stand up and say something, and then the high school team would come running in their jerseys, and then the coach would stand up and he'd say, we've been working all summer. We're ready to play. We're ready to go. We're going to take Westmont on tonight. We're going to kill them because we're ready. Are you ready to play? Have you been preparing and getting ready and coming to the pep rally today? We're in the huddle today, right? We're in the huddle. We're getting ready to play. And I hope that you walk out of here today encouraged and taught and trained and ready to go. And I hope that when we're done, you'll go running up those steps to sign up at the ministry fair to do something, to be a toenail, to be a fingernail, to be a hair, to be a head, to be a foot, whatever is needed up there, that you will participate, every single person doing your little part to bring glory and power to God forever and ever. Now, did you catch what was right before that? But it said that you can use your part and that you should do it as well as you possibly can. But I'm about to introduce you to what's called the priesthood principle. The priesthood principle is something that a lot of people don't know about, but it's so important. Priesthood principle of all believers. You're saying, priest, are you kidding me? I don't think of myself as a priest. I mean, you might look okay in a robe, but I would never wear a robe. Are you kidding me? Priest, the priesthood of all believers. Help me to understand this a little bit. Well, let's again go to Scripture that tells us something about it. Will you read it with me? And you are living stones that God is building into his spiritual temple. What's more, you are his holy priests. Through the mediation of Jesus Christ, you offer spiritual sacrifices that please God. You can't deny it's in the Scripture, can you? This isn't one of those where the pastor said, it's in the Scripture somewhere, so you just do this. We just read it. You know it's there. The priesthood of all believers. That this incredible notion that you are a priest. Why does it say that you, and you're not only a priest, but you're a holy priest. Did you catch that? Every single person here is a holy priest. You say, holy me? You don't know me very well, pastor. But yes, you, holy. You are a holy priest. What makes you holy? What makes you a priest? Great question. Mind if I answer it? Here's what makes you holy. Holy means other. Remember how we talked about this before, that Sunday is called the Holy Sabbath. It's an other day. We have our weekdays and we have our other day, our holy day. It's a separate, it's set aside. We call God holy, holy, holy. Why do we say holy, holy, holy? That's called a trisagion. That's a thrice repeated word that declares the essence of a being. That God is holy, holy. He is completely other. He's God. We're not, right? He's completely other. So we call him holy, holy, holy. You are other. You are a peculiar generation, the Scripture calls us. A peculiar people. A people who are different from the world. And I hope that you are. Are you different from the world? I hope when you watch TV, you're like, what's going on? Right? I hope that your household doesn't operate like reality TV. That we are a peculiar people, a peculiar generation. That we are different. We are other. And we should be other. And we are priests. What makes us priests? Well, you know that a priest is the go-between God and the people. Well, what if you don't know God? You need a priest. And you are those priests because you know God. You've been introduced by someone else who is a priest. And you've come to know God, and God is your Savior and your Lord. And you love God. And so when you're out in the community, you are the priest to those people who do not yet know God. So you are holy priests. It is the priesthood of all believers. And there's nobody that's unimportant in all of this. That every single person is a holy priest. And I want you to all start thinking of yourselves like that. That we're all holy priests together. Now, we're all called to different purposes. We all have different calls in our life, different gifts and graces, and there are different things that all of us can do. You know, like, I know there are some people in this congregation who say, I could preach better than that, and there are a whole bunch of others who say, I would never be up there. But it's what God has called me to. And I know that God has called a whole bunch of you to the things that you do. And there's some of you who don't know what God is calling you to, and quite frankly, afraid to try. So I want to talk about some of the penalties that sideline a whole bunch of players. The first penalty, of course, is I'm no good, right? These are the people that say, look, we're second stringers in my family. We've been second stringers for generations. We're bench warmers, you get it? We warm the pew. We're good at it. This is our part. We're not good enough to do something else in the congregation. I'm not as smart as a lot of the people in that congregation. I'm not as old as a lot of the people in the congregation. I'm not as young as a lot of the people in the congregation. I'm not as educated as a lot of the people in the congregation. I just can't do that. I haven't been to seminary. You expect me to be a priest here? I haven't been to seminary. I'm not able. Well, you have possibilities, friends. I'm helpful about this group because these are the people who are not full of themselves. These people have a chance. You know, when I think of God choosing me, you need to know, I had speech therapy the whole way through elementary school. I did. The whole way, from first grade to fifth grade, I got sent out of the classroom to go work with the speech therapist. God chose the foolish things of this world so that you could see God's glory. You see, before my call to ministry, I couldn't speak in a large group. I was bashful and shy. Even among farmers, I would go and stand at a farm meeting and think, I don't know what to say to these people, and I farmed all my life. And then God called me, and you get to see God's glory, not Bill's glory. You get it? This is why God chooses us. Let's read together 1 Corinthians 1:28. God chose things despised by the world, things counted as nothing at all, and used them to bring to nothing what the world considers important. As a result, no one can ever boast in the presence of God. Let me tell you something. I cannot boast about my oratory skills. That came from God. 100%. I did not have this until God called me. When God called me, he was faithful to provide everything that I needed to do it. But it is 100% God, and people that knew me before would agree to that. That I simply could not have dreamed of doing this. I don't even have a very good memory, and I stand up here and could preach a long sermon without hardly looking at notes. That is a God thing, I'm telling you. Names used to be such a struggle for me, I couldn't learn names at all. Beth will tell you about my memory. My wife has an incredible memory. I'm always saying, honey, how was that? Where were we supposed to be? What was that? I do the same to Doris. Doris, when was I supposed to be there? I'm a scatterbrain. But God is glorious. And God can do infinitely and abundantly more than we could ever hope or dream. And he can do that with you as well. Man, I think about my God, and I just think, I am God's Cinderella story, and so are you. We are like the underdogs. We're like Cleveland today, okay? We're like, oh, I know the Cleveland fans are hating me about now. We are like them, though. We are the underdogs. And God and God's whole team is rooting for us. Say, you can do this. You know, the whole Bible's just full of a whole bunch of people that thought they couldn't. Moses thought he couldn't. Yeah, I can't go down there. Are you kidding me? I mumble. I don't have good speaking skills. You got to get someone else to do this. You know, people that were called many times thought they just couldn't possibly do this thing. Abraham was afraid to be the father of the faith. He thought it was impossible. But you are just the kind of person that God can use in a mighty, mighty way. That is a penalty that can just be, you know, like a 5-yard penalty. You can get over that one. You can make it. This is the tougher one. I'm too good. This is the one where, well, that's beneath me. Look, Pastor, I have a degree, and you want me to hold a baby in the nursery? Are you kidding me? I make 6 figures, and you want me to pick up that cup laying outside the church? Are you kidding me? I am so smart, and you want me to work in the kitchen? Do you understand who you're talking to here? I have been blown away by these people along the way. These are people like, hey, could you work in the nursery? Well, gee, let me check my schedule. You're asking for 1 hour out of, let's see, 1 times 24 times 7. Honey, what's that equal to? I don't know. You want a whole hour of my time to work with the children? Now, Pastor, do you understand what a busy person I am? Do you understand just how busy my schedule is? I mean, it's all filled up. I couldn't possibly spare a whole hour. I couldn't possibly. I mean, you just don't understand, Pastor. Do you know who I am? These are the tough nuts to crack. Romans 12:3. Let's read it together. Don't think you're better than you really are. Be honest in your evaluation of yourselves. Measuring yourselves by the faith that God has given us. Friends, it can indeed fit your schedule. I want to talk about the third penalty. And this is a very bad penalty that doesn't just affect individuals. It affects nonprofits and churches all over the world. And it's a very bad theology. It's the them-we theology. It's the you know, in some cases, it comes from a good heart that just says, look, you've specialized in this church stuff, pastor. You've got a staff of pastors. You're the specialist. And I would like to do all that, but look, you've got this handled. In fact, sometimes it's more nefarious. Sometimes it's people that say, you know what? You the preacher, we the bleachers. Okay? You know what I'm talking about? Boy, Kathy's nodding. You're the preacher. We're the bleachers. We go to work. We make money. We put it in the pot. You get the church rolling. And do a good job, by the way. And if you don't, we'll be sure to call you on it. These are the people who are spectators or instigators. I want you to be participators. A lot of times we think of people walking out of the church saying, well, what do you think of the sermon? Well, I don't know. It didn't do much for me today. Yeah, these are the sports commentators, right? You know, they sit there and they talk about sports all day, but they don't get involved. This is so dangerous, and I want to explain where this came from and why we're in this spot as a church in America. Have you heard of East Stanley McChrystal? The general in Iraq. He's not there now. He's a retired general. E. Stanley McChrystal wrote a book. It's called Team of Teens, and it's a very important book, in my opinion. The book talks about this guy by the name of Frederick Taylor, who helped us to learn how to specialize in America. It's a very important read. In this book, he talks about how it really had affected the military, because when they were trying to affect the Iraq war, they found out that they couldn't keep up with things. Because what was happening is, something would happen out in the field, you know, a bomb, Osama bin Laden, or some, no, I'm so sorry, I did not mean that. Osama bin Laden is what I meant to say, and it came out wrong. Osama bin Laden, hiding on the field, and him and his cronies, they attack. The word works its way up the chains. East Stanley McChrystal said, by the time they got the word at the headquarters, they were gone. And he said, and we came to realize that we were operating top down on everything, and that was a tragic mistake, and why the Iraq war was going so terribly at that point. At that point, they established a huge bunker zone where they brought in people from all, like the special operations people, they had a representative at the table. So if something happened with the special operation people out on the field, they would immediately radio their buddy in the room. That buddy was within arm's distance of the general, of the commanding office, of all of the armies that were serving in the Allied powers, in arm's distance of them. So that East Stanley McChrystal knew immediately what decision needed to be made and could send it back down and get everybody going again to respond to this before they escaped. Now, he talks about Frederick Taylor in that book and how they got there. Why they were so specialized and why it was so top down. Frederick Taylor was a guy in the early 1900s. Ida Turnbull wrote about him and said, he is a genius. This guy has really figured out business. And he was a genius in a way. And he did do a lot of good. He went into a lot of factories and he trained how to specialize. And he trained well. And a lot of factories became very efficient. And indeed, we became an industrial empire because, not in spite of, but because of Frederick Taylor. But it's one thing to produce ball bearings, and it's another thing to reach people for Jesus Christ. Another thing that happened, and I remember having friends that worked at Coleman plant that's now closed down in Somerset, PA. And I remember one of those guys saying, we try to tell the engineers that the idea that they sent down to us is not a good idea, but they won't listen to us. So we put it together, and then it gets recalled, and we're back in the plant rebuilding it the following year. So it doesn't work all the time everywhere, and certainly not in the church. What we did is we came home from our factories, and we said, this is working really well. So in the 40s and 50s, every church's goal was to have a full-time pastor to do the church, while the people went to work and specialized in what they did and let the pastor specialize in being the church. Now you need to understand that that's not the way it was in Wesley's day. In Wesley's day, when the church was really shaking and rolling, they had what were called circuit preachers. But the circuit preacher only showed up once in a while. And the congregation was responsible for holding it together and making it go. And the congregations did a marvelous job of that. Right now, if we suddenly didn't have a pastor, this place would fall apart, to be honest with you. You know why? Because we're not trained in the whole church doing all of it all the time. We're so centralized on a pastor and a pastoral team. I want us to reject the them-we theology today. To understand that every single one of us are incredibly important in how this church goes. That every single one of us enrolled in helping, this church would be way better than if a pastoral staff and a lay staff is just running the church. And I've done everything I can, to be honest with you, since I've arrived here, to make sure that there is empowerment of the laity. And another thing, the leaders and especially the staff will tell you that I have been on them and I'm going to stay on them, that when people sign up for things today, you are going to hear from us. There is not going to be a single soul, right, leaders, that signs up for anything and doesn't get a call. Now, I don't want to create monsters here either, because some people are probably going to sign up for something that they may not have a gift for. And some of the leaders are going to have to put on their big boy pants and big girl pants and say, you know what? I think you'd better serve in this capacity. And you need to be humble enough to receive that and serve well in that area until finally you are recognized for the skills that God gives you as you serve. But it takes stepping out and learning. Let me tell you something. If I had not stepped out as a lay speaker after becoming a Christian at the age of 24 and beginning to speak at the churches around Somerset, I would not be where I am today. It started by serving. Sunday school teacher first, then occasional lay speaking, then licensing school, then seminary, then a three-point charge. You got to be faithful in the valleys. And then you will be recognized. And quite frankly, that's where a lot of our leadership come from. People who served on mission teams and helped in the Sunday school program, sang in the choir, worked on work days. Those people start standing out. Here's leaders, leadership ability. We need to ask them to be in leadership. But we've got to serve well wherever we are serving. Let's face this reality. Let's read it together. Two people are better off than one, for they can help each other succeed. If one person falls, the other can reach out and help. But someone who falls alone is in real trouble. Boy, that's the truth, huh? Practices to maximize your call. First thing is to first just understand you are called by God. Nobody less, but called by God. You've been chosen. You know, like the minion, I've been chosen, right? You've been chosen. You have absolutely been chosen. You know, I think of when I was in school, elementary school. When I went into school, I was 4 years old when I started. And I was kind of small and frail. I'm still kind of frail except for my gut. But the rest of me is kind of a frail built. And it's just the way I've always been. I was a frail little boy. And they do this horrible thing in elementary school. At least they did then. I understand it's not done anymore. Okay, kids, up against the wall, we're going to play dodgeball. Right? Remember this? And then they get the two athletes that are in third grade and look like Hulk, you know? And they're the captains. And the captains come out on the field and they look up and down the line. They're like, I want my buddy. I want that sports jock. I want that sports jock. Yeah, I'll take that one and that one and that one. Not that one. And I'm standing there, and I'm not making this up. It's me and one little fat kid. And I'm like, pick me, pick me, pick me. Please pick me. Stop laughing. I'm still hurting from this. They pick him. And then they say, you want him? Nah, you can have him. But God picked me. Let me tell you something. Thank you. God picked me. God picked you. You know, I remember when I started getting a little older, all of a sudden I had a growth spurt. And I started getting pretty good. And I got better at sports because on a farm, we never played sports. So I didn't know anything about sports. We worked from the time I was tiny. And suddenly, I started playing with the other kids, and I got pretty good. One day, I was the captain. Now, I'm standing there, and I'm thinking, now I'm the captain. And I'm just forming my team, everybody I want on my team, and I'm thinking, I want this person, and I want that person. And friends, this is what God has done. God has chosen the foolish to make his glory so visible. God has chosen you. And that is a marvelous thing to know. That you've been called by God himself. You didn't figure this out. You're not that smart. You didn't figure out that the way to get right with God is to send his son to a cross, to die on a cross, and that somehow will make us right. You didn't figure that out. God figured that out. And God called you and said, come, come to me. And some pushed back his hand. But some reached out their foot. Said, I'll take a step of faith. And God met you right there. And his wonderful prevenient grace, going right on to sanctifying grace, he's been working marvelous wonders in your lives. And I'm glad that you're on the team. You know, I've been here now about 6 months, and I have met some of the most wonderful servants, and I have some of the most incredible conversations in my office where people just come in, and they just want to ask, can I talk to the pastor? And they come back, and they walk into my office and say, Pastor, here's the thing. I think we ought to do this, and I want to help to make it happen. Do you know how that lifts my heart? To see team players that say, I'm ready to play. Put me in, coach. This is the church the way it was supposed to be. John 15:16, let's read it together. You didn't choose me, I chose you. I appointed you to go and produce lasting fruit. You've been chosen by God, no less. Don't you ever forget that. You've been chosen. Now the challenge is to play your part. You got to play your part, whatever that part is. Can you imagine an entire band that's nothing but drums? Well, I'd be a drum corps, I guess. Can you imagine how boring that would get after hours? How wonderful it is when the whole orchestra is playing. How wonderful it is when the whole church operates like a well-tuned orchestra. Can you imagine if this organ had one pipe? How many pipes does it have, Tina? 2,861 pipes up there to make the sounds that Tina makes with her incredible talent. And you thought it was one pipe. That's a pipe dream. Good one, Dave. Is that who said it? Was that Dave? Yeah. I thought that was his voice. Yeah, I'll tell you what. When we're playing our part, then it can play. And it can play like a finely tuned instrument. But everybody's got to do their part. There is this, as I said, a very funny text, 1 Corinthians 12, this talks about this toe and says, you know, if the foot says that I'm not part of the body, that doesn't make it any less a part of the body. It's still part of the body. Can you imagine, you know, have you ever met anyone that had dropped foot? They tell you what it's like to have a foot that's not working. That's a real limitation, isn't it? And we don't need any feet that aren't working here. We don't need any feet saying, man, I wish I was a hand. I want to be, matter of fact, I want to be a mouth. Let me be a mouth. Look, we can't all be mouths, and we can't all be hands, and we can't all be foot. Some of us need to be toenails. And if you ever stubbed your toe, you know how important a toenail is. We're so important, every single one. God doesn't work the same way all the time. He works in many wonderful ways, through many types of people. Let's read it together. God works in different ways. But it is the same God who does the work in all of us. A spiritual gift is given to each of us so we can help each other. So I want to just share with you a little bit about my journey. You've heard me talk about my journey some, but as you know, I became a committed Christian at 24. I attended church all my life, so I knew a lot of the background, I knew a lot of the Bible stories and such. I had a lot of biblical information. It just hadn't become saving grace to me yet. At 24, it became a very real thing to me. I accepted Jesus Christ as my Lord and Savior, not just somebody who died for the world. There's a big difference the way you look at that. I came to this realization that God was my Savior, that He died on a cross for this guy, and that God was offering me help. And when I accepted that reality, something clicked within me. Now, all this information that I had was now available. And so people would say, Bill, will you teach the youth class? We think you could be a good youth. Hey, I was showing up. I was a warm body and I had some biblical knowledge, you know? So I taught. And it turned out the youth group started to grow. So I thought, well, I guess this is my gift. So I kept teaching. Then they said, will you teach the young adult group? I'm looking around at people about 20 years older than I am, but it was the young adult group. And that began to grow, and pretty soon we added a second row of chairs around. And I started thinking, well, maybe this is my gift. Maybe God has given me a gift to speak, and I didn't realize this. So churches started asking me to come and speak at their churches. And I'm like, okay, I guess that's my gift. So I'll go and speak at the church over there. And I started speaking at some churches here and there. And I remember first time I walked into First Church Somerset, thought, man, I'm here. I grew up in a little country church. Then Grace Church, Beulah Church. And I just started speaking at all these different places and realizing that, what if I hadn't used my gift when I was a Sunday school teacher? And then the call at 29 came so strong, it was undeniable. I don't think God would have called me if I hadn't been faithful in little. You got to be faithful in little. Serve well. Use the gifts that you have. Make the most of it. And I'm not done. I'll tell you that. I am not done. I have so much to learn, so much wisdom to gather. I have so much more that I want to be and be able to do as a pastor. But I'm going to keep learning. And I work it. I do. You think that I just kind of sit there in the office and wait for people to just kind of show up and twiddle my thumbs? Is that what you think I do down there in the office? Now I'm working on a sermon. I'm praying about a sermon. I'm delving through the scripture, and in between calls and people stopping in and staff walking in and out, I'm working on a sermon the whole time because I want to bring the best word that I could possibly bring come Sunday morning. Because God's given me this gift, so I need to use it and nurture it and work hard and prepare for the game. Because the game is on. And I'm not talking about the Steelers. The game is on. Here's the deal. You play your part, and I'll play mine, and that's my promise to you. I'll do my share, but I need you to do your share. Kathy is on more than her share, but she needs you to do your share. Denny, part-time, doing more than his share, but he needs all of you to do your share. And I could go around this room and talk about some lay people too, but I don't want to embarrass anybody. But there are some lay people that do more than their share too. There are some incredible lay people here who serve so faithfully and do so much. But here's my thing. I just know if you play your part, and I play mine, and we work hard at it together, we're going to make something beautiful. I am so excited about where we're going as a church. I am thrilled about what we're doing as a community of faith. And I'm not talking about trying to become a big church, although I think that's going to happen because you can't outdo God. And I believe that as we play a great role in this community as a Christian community, that God will bless us and this church will grow. I have no doubt about that. But I also know that what I'm about is being a priest of connecting people that don't yet know God to God. You are a priest, and your job is to introduce people that don't know God yet. You are, if not you, who's in that circle that's going to? If not you. Won't it be beautiful when we celebrate with those incredible people in heaven over every sinner that repents and accepts Jesus Christ as their Lord? Won't it be marvelous when we hear that no longer is there only one-third of Indiana going to church, but a half of Indiana is going to church? And two-thirds of Indiana is going to church. And 75% of Indiana is going to church. And can I say it? 100%. 100%. And I want to dream that big because I believe my God is bigger yet. I want to pray. Dear God, I pray for these people as they get ready to go upstairs. Right now, their hearts would open. And they would say, Lord, I want to play my part. I don't know what my part is for sure. I'm going to go up and I'm going to walk through the tables and figure this out. And I just pray that as they nurse a cup of coffee or eat a snack, that they might be fed by you, Lord. That as they consider what you are calling them to do, that you will give them the grace to do what they're able to do. That God, you will give them the gifts for whatever you're calling them to do. That Almighty One, you would touch those who have hard hearts and soften their hearts right now. That they would come to a decision in their minds right at this moment to say, I want to go in, Coach. Send me in. Help them to get over themselves, Lord. Crush their hearts before you. Humble each one of us and help us, Lord, to know that we're not anything of ourselves, but we're only what we are because of you. So God, pour your spirit unto your people. Give us wisdom. And Lord, I do pray for those who would love to serve in some capacity. And they say, well, really, honestly, I'm frail. I'm sick. I'm old. All I can do is pray. Help them to know, Lord, that those prayers are so important, that they're doing amazing things for this church because they're praying. And I pray for those who are young and unsure and feel frustrated that they're not being recognized for their gifts. That, Lord, whether they're young in age chronologically or young as far as a Christian, I just pray that you would give them patience, but also that you would give us as leadership the wisdom to see the difference between someone that's immature physically and immature spiritually. Lord, we pray that we would put godly people in all leadership areas. and that you would guide us in that, but that all of your people, whether they're baby Christians or gray-haired Christians or whatever the case may be, Lord, that you will use them mightily, not in spite of us, but because of our efforts, Lord. So give wisdom to the leadership teams, to the pastoral team and the staff, and Lord, I just pray that today would be the beginning of an incredible movement in Indiana. Let it be, Lord. And we pray, too, for those who have other responsibilities that are sincere responsibilities. We're not talking about people who have time to spend hours on social media, but the people who sincerely have to go to work, have to care for a parent, have to care for children, and honestly cannot give another ounce. Lord, I pray for them that you would help them through that hard time, that you'd be with these who have parents who are suffering old age, be with those who are suffering things themselves. And we just pray for healing and health and longevity for this congregation. Bless their homes, Lord. Bless them in every way possible, and we'll give you the glory for it in Christ's name. Amen. Let us pray together the prayer that Jesus taught his disciples. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, and thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever.